Lali Chonanjanum Togabo Mushe Zimbabwe Mushe Kwazwai Muri Zimbabwe. Welcome Zimbabwe Mushe. If you're tuned in right now, you're tuned in to Live Talk The Connection, brought to you by Studio 7, Voice of America. Zulugandabam Togabo Mushe. I'm your host, Mike Hove. Welcome on Tuesday, the 19th of January 2021, Muria Zimbabwe. You're tuned into Live Talk, The Connection, Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related. Now, Muria Zimbabwe, unfortunately, tino urombo silusizi ngempela. Due to umkhuhlane we coronavirus, due to COVID-19, we're not able to bring you this program live as per usual. What this means is you, our loyal listeners, unfortunately will not be able to call in as usual. However, you can still send your contributions, Muria Zimbabwe, on WhatsApp on +1 202 465 0318. The number again, +1 202 465 0318. Now, tonight on The Connection, Muria Zimbabwe, Nasim Chirongwa Cheluchevich, Tiki, Namsha Gushelo Lechulabasakulayo. We continue the discussion on COVID-19. We continue speaking to youth about the increase in COVID-19 cases in Zimbabwe. But we don't just look to end there. We also look to zone in on what's happening here in the United States of America as the United States of America prepares for the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, which is happening tomorrow. As usual, Muria Zimbabwe, we're going to be wrapping up our program with some positive vibes. We're going to be profiling a young people. This week, we focus on Victor Mpofu, a young Zimbabwean who's using satire to highlight and educate people on what is happening in Zimbabwe. But first up, health, Muria Zimbabwe, a COVID-19 update. Now, the latest information released by the Ministry of Health shows that 3,829 PCR tests were conducted yesterday, 689 new cases were detected, 860 recoveries, 60 deaths, of which of those 60, one is in Bulawayo, 36 are in Harare, 10 in Manicaland, 2 in Mashonaland Central, 1 in Mashonaland West, and 5 in Midlands, 3 in Mashingo, and 2 in Matabeleland North. Zimbabwe currently has 27,892 confirmed COVID-19 cases and 17,372 recoveries, 773 deaths. Now, Muria Zimbabwe, whilst on the same discussion of what's been happening in the country, we've heard medical experts stress, please wash your hands as regularly as possible, wear your masks correctly, practice social distancing. This is something that we've been talking about. Even Pano Pachongo Chedichevichiki is something we have been stressing. Last week, we showed a video of what was happening in Zimba, whereby our VOA Zimbabwe correspondent Nunrai Chena was in Zimba. And it was showcasing what medical experts are stressing, what governments are stressing, saying people are not abiding by the lockdown regulations. Now, this week, we show a video of what's happening in Chinoy. Nunrai Chena was in Chinoy recently, and he was showcasing how people are not abiding by the lockdown. Let's take a look at what is happening in Chinoy. This is something that happened just yesterday, Muria Zimbabwe. Well, Muria Zimbabwe, as you can see there, for those that are that are paying attention via radio, I urge you to come to our Facebook live broadcast, whereby you're going to be seeing some of these videos that we're showcasing. As you can see there, Muria Zimbabwe, that was what was happening in Chinoy, whereby Nunrai Chena was just showing the temperament of what's happening. Libone was about, we're not practicing social distancing at all, especially when they're trying to buy their things. When people are now trying to get into the Zupco buses, There was no social distancing whatsoever. These are some of the things that have been highlighted, but unfortunately are still continuing. Now, let's hear from our medical expert, Dr. Chinathinda Simemezo, who's going to be touching on what are the consequences of these things now that people seem to not abide by these lockdown regulations, which is something that government is continuously stressing. What does this mean in terms of the lockdown? Is it to be extended? What's happening in the hospitals and so much more? Let's head over to Dr. Chinathinda Simemezo to hear his thoughts on the program, to hear his thoughts on what's happening in Zimbabwe COVID-19 related. Dr. Simemezo,
well,
welcome.
From our discussion last time, we say that due to December and due to the people traveling, we were expecting the numbers to spike up.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't imagine that they would spike up like this, and now, so because of the strain that is said to be coming from South Africa, another strain is said to be in England, so which is much more aggressive and much more visible. So that's why we're seeing the numbers doing the way they're doing. It's essentially because, the traveling that happened in December, and also people got a bit relaxed because we hadn't been hit hard by the first wave. Yeah, but the second wave is really hitting us hard right now.
Speaking of the new COVID-19 strain, the one that's existent in South Africa and other parts of the world, seeing as though these are neighboring countries, and of course, like you mentioned, over December we had a lot of people from South Africa, Botswana, and other neighbor countries, and abroad, and like UK, America, and so forth, going back home to kind of spend time with family over the Christmas holidays, with the hopes that they'll be able to return to their individual destinations. Do you think that this new strain has made its way into Zimbabwe?
I believe so. I believe it has, because our close proximity to South Africa and our borders, which are somewhat porous in a sense, and I believe that it has made its way, and I believe that's why we're also seeing the spike in numbers the way we're seeing it, and there are a lot of people dying. I know every minute you refresh your WhatsApp thing, someone who has died. So I do believe it's somewhat here.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we look at the youth itself, phase one, Zimbabwe, we were talking about one death every 2-3 weeks. And majority of the time, these would be people of an older generation. Now, with this new wave two, and I guess like we just said, the new strain, we're looking at a lot of young people that are contracting COVID-19, and of course, a lot of young people that are losing life due to COVID-19, as are reflected in South Africa and other neighboring countries. How do you think the youth of Zimbabwe should now approach this, Nana?
I think the youth should be more diligent than ever, because this is a really crucial time whereby if you get it and you have an underlying condition, you might get the severity of the disease. Also, if you get it and you go home and spread it to the community and so forth, they might actually succumb to the disease. So this is a time whereby we must be really, really vigilant more than ever. Yeah, because it's actually really upon us, and the numbers are not lying, and the posts that people are saying people are dying are not—it's not a lie. Mm-hmm. So we actually need to practice more what we've been discussing over the whole year, last year: social distancing, strict hygiene, being in quarantine if you have traveled, self-isolating if you are now infected by the disease. Mm-hmm. So these are principles that we should really adhere to now more than ever.
Now, Dr. Simemezo, with the increase in COVID-19 cases in Zimbabwe, I am curious about, naturally an increase in COVID-19 cases means more, the possibility of more deaths, which means it's a bigger burden on the healthcare system in Zimbabwe, which now leads me to my question and my thought, of course, is, how are people coping in the hospitals? We're seeing different reports of some people saying even now medical experts are contracting COVID-19. So what are things looking like that side?
Yeah, the condition is really overwhelming. Mm-hmm. The hospital systems are really strained. The spokesperson last week posted that our hospitals are really in strain. Also, the Deputy Minister of Health said Zimbabwe is now sort of like a hotspot as well, because of the situation that's on the ground. So, yeah, some people who require admission can't be admitted because of the lack of beds and so forth. So some have to actually be treated at home, which is not ideal, but it has to be done because our systems are really overwhelmed. All over the world, it's overwhelmed, but also in Zim, it's not different.
Now, you just touched on something which seems to be actually happening a lot. I didn't realize it, but a lot of people, because of this situation, have now resorted to treating themselves at home. How advisable is that, seeing as though COVID-19, you need medical expertise on this one?
Well, I think you need medical expertise to guide you, the steps to take and so forth. But because of just the burden of the disease at the moment, there's sort of like a triage system whereby those who have the variants of the disease will require admission. But those who have mild disease, mild to moderate, can be treated at home. And there's a home guide which sort of like follows a certain protocol of how family members can help or the next of kin help in terms of managing the situation at home. Mm-hmm. And sort of, if you require oxygen, there are oxygen concentrators that can be used at home. Mm-hmm. These things have been used way back for other conditions that require chronic oxygen supply. So right now people are now doing that, resorting to that. But if you then require ICU or HDU, you then need to be admitted. But for the most part, people who have mild to moderate disease are actually being treated at home.
Now, I am curious, when the lockdown started, when it was announced in January, of course, early January, the idea of the lockdown is it's going to be a 30-day lockdown at, of course, level 4, and then it's going to be reviewed. But now, with the COVID cases continuously increasing, it's not like it's backing down. I'm curious to hear more from you as a medical expert. Do you think that we should keep it at level 4, or what do you think?
I think we should keep it this way to avoid a lot of deaths. So that what we did during the first lockdown, we quickly acted. Before we only had like two people that had been stage of COVID, but then we went under total lockdown, and the spread of the disease was sort of like reduced, and we were doing well. But then this year, considering the traveling that happened and the mixing and mingling that happened over the festive season, we've seen that there's a lot of cases that have arose due to that. Mm-hmm. And because of that, a lockdown will work initially to stop the spread of the condition, but those who have already contracted it will have it even under lockdown. Mm-hmm. That's where the problem lies, Kuti. If you had already contracted the condition before the lockdown, which means it's going to take its course. It's going to take its, the disease is going to take its course, and you might get the extremity of the disease or just a mild to moderate disease. So a lockdown works in terms of stopping the spread, but for those who are already contracted now, it becomes another problem. Mm-hmm. So because you are now confined into a household where you get spread to also your family members and so forth. So the effects of a lockdown can only be seen over a certain time. Mm-hmm. It's not an immediate thing. So to say 30 days, it's a bit an underestimate. Mm-hmm. So the effects will be seen over time, maybe 2-3 months. That's when the will be seen.
We hear there. Saka, Dr. Smemes and Dr. Mbobata Inyaini Rumiro Amaiti, then Topete, Rukuredu, Yanasi. A Tukuna number, Evan or Bata to relate coronavirus in Yakaruka and Ramberi Tukira. Saka Dubong's welcome, wondering a senior engineer at the Uchano. Who was one of the coronavirus?
kuona kuti chirwere chatekeshera nyika yese izvo tikuzviona pa news mumaspatara kuti spatara zviri overwhelmed uyezve zvinova izvo zviri chikonzero ndechekuti during ma holiday season vanhu taifamba famba vanhu tanga tarelax nekuti corona yanga isina kunanotsotibata muAfrica o muZimbabwe simaningi sezvanga yaita kudzimwe nyika dzemiri. So ndosaka tiri kuona uwandu hwechirwere ichi chatekeshera nyika yose chinova icho chakukonzeresa kuti vanhu vakawanda vave vachishaika.
Tichitarisa nyaya yekuti pakatanga chirwere ichi muna March gore rakapfuura muna 2020 paa pasina vanhu vakawanda vangachishaya nepamusana pechirwere checoronavirus, taiona kuti pamwe pa2 weeks paingoshaya munhu mumwe chete. Zvino pazosvika kapanguva pasi rose riri kuti hanzi pane strain 2 iri kutora upenyu hwevanhu vakati wandei especially vanhu vechidiki. Senyanzvi nyaya dzeutano, ndeapi mashoko amungada kupa vechidiki kuti vanyatsonzwisisa kuti aiwa coronavirus haisi kuita zvokutamba, iri kutora upenyu hwevanhu vakati wandei?
Chinoitika ndechekuti ezvino mazuva ano nyika yose yavhurika tave kunge tiri mukugara munyika 1 yavanoti ivo global village. Saka posibiliti yekuti iwo strain iyoyo inokwanisa iri muZimbabwe yakanyanya maningi nenyaya yekuti vanhu vanofamba famba kwese kwese uyezve nyika dzese are open to each other, there is always a connection somehow. So vanhu vechidiki tinoti nguva ino yave yekuti tinatsoteedzera zvataitaura zviya kubvira corona itangi, zvesocial distancing, zveself isolation, zvequarantine tafanira kunatsozviita maningi nestrict hygiene nekungoavoida kufamba famba. Kana uchikwanisa kushandira mumba zviri nani ushandire mumba, zvekuti arega ndimbonoonana gogo, ndimbonoona shamwari zvakadaro, izvo zvinokwanisa kutikonzeresera. Ainoo kuti vanhu vanoda kusocializa, but munguva ino tiofanira kumbozvitora mbichana kuitira kuti tikwanise kuita control nechirwere ichi.
Aiwa muri Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from a doctor. Tinotenda Simemeza, regai tichore mukana uyu kuvatenda nekupinda muchirongwa chedu chinotenda Dr. Simemeza. Liyamuzwa phela udokotela uTinotenda Simemeza uyasho umbono wakhe ngalokho okwenzakalayo elizweni. Uyasho ngempela ukuthi istrain le coronavirus le khanya ngani yatholakala kule South Africa. Yena uthi ngombono wakhe njengengcwethi ekhangela indaba ezempila kahle uthi hayi yena ubona ngani the proof is there eyokuthi istrain le isifikile kwele Zimbabwe ngenxa yokuthi umkhuhlane lo igcikwane leli le coronavirus selimemetheka ngendlela emangalisayo. Lo ngudokotela Tinotenda Simemeza muri Zimbabwe. Let us know your thoughts. +1202 465 0318 ndiyo WhatsApp number yedu. Makatirira chirongwa chedu chevechidiki, chirongwa The Connection.
Chipanda poe kama umawiza amekwaido artist aka Mr. Mkulunistu wa Neveneki. Guys, COVID-19 abaibiza nye corona inte kona. Pambili nye social distancing. Askeze nye zanja, always stay safe, stay home. Last night.
Easy, Majita. Easy.
Last number. Ma wiza mkhulumisikiwa ngevernacular uyasho ukuthi phambili nge-social distancing, gezani izandla, konke lokhuya, all the good stuff. Now let's head over to Bulawayo, going to Tuzetunga, one of the most affected areas in Zimbabwe by umkhuhlane we-coronavirus, by COVID-19. We have Bosikona DVD on the line, who's going to let us know more about what's happening in Bulawayo. Dimitri, welcome to the program. Let us know what's going on. What's your thoughts on the spread of umkhuhlane lo we coronavirus elizweni?
I think it's worrying because you find that 99% of the figures of COVID-19 in this second wave are local transmission cases. Mm-hmm. So which means the issues within the borders where the transmission is from one person to the next within the country. So we've seen quite a number of deaths right now, and people we know have died, like even in my local area, I know a couple of neighbors who have passed away because of COVID-19. So it's getting more real. And we can make reference to this one and the other, as it were. So the cases have really spiked so much. We have, in the first wave, we did not have the figures skyrocketing in this way. I remember in the first wave, we would go for 2 months with one death or two deaths. But just 2 days ago, there were 33 deaths in a day. And it's quite scary having thousands of people testing positive for COVID-19 in Zimbabwe in 24 hours.
Whilst we're still focusing on abantu abasakhulayo, the youth of Zimbabwe, I am curious about something here. As you've highlighted, the first wave wasn't as dangerous. You didn't have a lot of young people surpassing due to it. A lot of the deaths that were there were either young people with pre-existing conditions or people of an older generation. But now we're seeing COVID-19 isakhethi. With the second wave, it's taking baba zonke, old, young, pre-existing, non-existing, what's going on? It's taking them all. Are the youth of Zimbabwe understanding how serious the second wave is, and are they taking the necessary precautions to ensure that they don't contract COVID-19?
The issue that we have here for us as young people in Zimbabwe is we constitute the highest number of the population of Zimbabwe. And it's good to have an appreciation. As an organization, we're also trying to then say, let's do an opinion poll. Let's talk to young people on condition of animosity to then say, what are your thoughts about COVID-19? What are your thoughts about the vaccine and the debate around the vaccine as well? So that we understand the understanding that young people have and also understand why they are not doing A, B, C, D around COVID-19 prevention as well. Because you notice that many young people are on social media, particularly in the urban areas, and very few are on social media in the remote areas. So we would want to then understand from the demographic, so 67% being population being under 35, what do we think or what do we think should be done around COVID-19 and how it has affected us? I think for us as young people, we need to go a step further. Because, you know, there's always debate about there's not this, there's not that in the hospital, but what are we doing as young people to then assist in our own communities and safeguard ourselves? Because it's now hitting home, it's closer to home with people we know dying. So we need to improve on that component and see how, as young people, we can effectively participate.
Which now brings to another question that I am very curious about here, is the talk around the comparison between what's happening in Emaphandleni and what's happening in Emadolobheni. When we look at both scenarios, be it Emaphandleni in the rural areas or in the main cities, are people processing COVID-19 in a similar manner? Are people understanding equally that COVID-19 is dangerous, you need to take all necessary precautions to ensure that you don't contract it and partake in spreading it? If we look at the way that people in Emaphandleni are living and people in Emadolobheni are living, would you argue that they're both understanding it at a very equal level?
From my assessment, you know, working with communities in the remote areas in Makaya, you notice that COVID-19 to them is not really much of an issue. It's not a daily talk. It's not a daily conversation type of thing. You recall people now are just talking about, you know, the flooding. We can't move from this place to the other. The rains and those are the basic conversations around. You know, if this is what is happening. We have not this and that. There's really less conversation around, you know, masking up, around COVID-19 cases, because all those cases, you notice that the breakdown is given, and you notice that in these remote areas, I would make reference to your Mark North and Mark South, the figures are very low in terms of the testing itself. The PRRC tests are very low, and the number of positive cases are very low. So once we do that, we then have this challenge where some provinces feel Harare is more affected in Bulawayo than where they are, you know, in the context of North and North South. So you find that, yeah, Corona, I actually have Harare and Bulawayo and Kweru, but North North, we only have maybe 200 cases, active cases, you know. So it becomes problematic because it's like we are safe here, but COVID-19 is actually hitting the remote areas as we speak.
We hear some medical experts saying the healthcare system has become overwhelmed because of the increase in all these different, of course, it's not just coronavirus that you're dealing with. Now you're dealing with the other diseases that are coming, plus an overwhelming amount of COVID-19 cases. However, we recently, you know, government saying, no, China, we're fine. Zimbabwe is dealing with COVID-19 accordingly. So I am curious about that. Based on the conversations that you've had with medical experts around you, and of course what you've seen on the ground, what would you say is the current state of healthcare in Zimbabwe?
Well, the current state of healthcare in Zimbabwe, particularly in remote areas, you know, there are issues of even accessibility, accessing the hospital, let's say, for someone who is he is sick, is the first problem. How do we get there? Because colleagues are telling us in the remote areas that the Ama Bridge Aflat is Aukambe. So we talk about those issues around, you know, how do you take someone from their bed at home, bedridden, to the hospital? Then you talk about getting them to the nearest clinic or hospital and taking them to the referral hospital. Those places are too far. Those are the major issues. Those places are too far. So when we're talking about COVID-19, you realize in rural communities, they are not thinking about this bed or a hospital. They are actually thinking about what can we do within the vicinity where we are at. Because if we're not able to get to Bruna Bay Hospital, for example, St. Anne's, and you were living in Plumtree there, how, what can we do with this? So you find that communities are now trying alternative strategies that are outside the health sector, because to them, to access a hospital is a struggle.
Siqale ngokukhangela ukukhuphuka kwenani labantu abasebebanjwe ngumkhuhlane we-COVID-19 elizweni. Siyabona ukuthi vele inani leli selikhuphukile, njalo sekulabantu abaningi abakhanya ngani sebebhubha ngenxa yokumemetheka kwaleli gciwane nabantu kwaleli gciwane. Yini umbono wakho nxa sesikhangela ukukhuphuka kwenani leli?
Umbono wami ukuthi i-coronavirus ikhona ngoba nasikhangela ama-statistics awe-second wave le sesikiyo. Atshengisa ukuthi ama-cases amaningi ayisiyo lawana okuthiwa kuqala nje i-first wave okuthiwa ama-returnees, yiwo abaletha i-corona. Hayi, kade sesiku-local transmission okutho ukuthi khona lapha eZimbabwe yilokhu sesilala ukuthi i-COVID-19 ikhona and we are spreading it within our borders. So ilokhu selukhona, labantu abafayo sebebaningi kakhulu okwesabisayo nsuku zonke nje, every 24 hours we have more cases and more people dying.
Sesikhangela phela indaba leyo yokuthi ku-first wave kwakulabantu abalutshwane, abantu abasakhulayo ababebhubha ngenxa kwegciwane le-COVID-19. Kodwa ku-second wave khanye ngani sekulabantu abatsha abaningi ababhubha ngenxa kokubanjwa kwaleli gciwane. Abantu abasakhulayo elizweni bayakuzwisisa yini khonokho ukuthi i-second wave ilapho ubaphambanisa impilo zabo, njalo ubona ngani bayathatha yini esingathi ama-measures wonke akhona ukubona ukuthi bengabanjwe naleli gciwane?
Uhlupho esilalo ngathi abantu abasha yilolu. Singabantu abasha sabe sikuma-stages ama-achievement emvilo, kulaba hamba esikolo, kulaba sebeqeda isikolo, kulaba sebenza. Uzathola ukuthi kaningi isikhathi esiningi lapho koBulawayo, ma uhamba okuhlala khona abantu emalotshini la, iningi labantu abasha bagqoke ama-mask, especially igenga le esingathi ngama-teenagers la. Abagqoki ama-mask isikhathi esiningi, abala sikhathi lakho, kumba abakuzwisisanga, kumba abala abakakuzwa kuthiwa maybe omunye esifunda la ekasekho, kumbe ikabafuna ukuthi bezibekuzwisisa.
Now, Divizi, let's wrap up our conversation here. You know, I know we've talked about this, but I think it's very important to revisit it and remind the youth what they need to do. And so with the increase in COVID-19 cases in Zimbabwe, and of course an increase in COVID-19-related deaths in Zimbabwe, what can the youth do, or what do you think the youth should be doing to ensure that the rest of the population understands how lethal COVID-19 is and also takes all necessary precautions towards preventing the curve of the spread of the COVID-19 virus in Zimbabwe?
I think for us as young people, we are tech savvy, we understand the internet, we need to then take a role, an active role, in terms of creating awareness about COVID-19. It doesn't take much. You know, we could do it even via WhatsApp, since data is expensive. We can do it even on our Facebook pages, just to create awareness about COVID-19. Let's not wait for institutions. Let's wait for government to do it. Let's take the initiative to say we are raising awareness about COVID-19. COVID-19 is real. Let's assist where we can in terms of raising awareness. Help the elderly to understand about COVID-19, even what masking up is all about, even what washing hands is all about, even what social distancing. We understand these terms way better than the elderly generation, but also the Zimbabwean population constitutes of more of us, so we need to encourage each other, create awareness around this, too many challenges, must have challenges, things like that, and correct each other, because most of the times we have a lot of energy and we have a lot of friends around us. So you find that you feel comfortable at your friend's place, not knowing that COVID-19 is anywhere, at any point in time.
Mbuye Zimbabwe Mthokazomuhle, you heard there from Nkosi Khona Dvd, the founder of Community Podium TV. He's challenging the youth, Hans, be on the forefront, come up with these challenges, urge your peers to take it upon themselves to ensure that they educate Zimbabweans, educate the nation more about the spreading of COVID-19 and the implications behind some of these decisions of, for example, not wearing a mask, for example, not practicing social distancing, and so much more. So that's what Nkosi Khona Dvd has to say. Moria Zimbabwe, Tipeo Mawandre, you +1 202 465 0318 is the WhatsApp number. This broadcast is going to be available on our three Facebook pages, VOA Develle, VOA Shana, Nipa VOA Studio 7. So please, for those watching on Facebook, share the program so that we can watch the program in our numbers. But now let's also zone in on what's happening in Zimbabwe's education sector. Another contributing factor to the increase in COVID-19 cases in Zimbabwe, as we've highlighted, as we speak, Zimbabwe, schools in Zimbabwe are still open to cater for those writing their grade 7, O-level and A-levels. And of course, some tertiary institutions have also opened their doors to ensure that their students can also write their examinations. Now, this is something that has been met with resistance by teachers, met resistance by parents, and so much more. However, government insists that schools must remain open. Let's hear more from Taunga Nandoro of the Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education, High School. Let's hear more from him.
Master Nomira, primary and secondary education, raona kuti utachiwana weCOVID-19 watapurira zvakanyanyisa kurudzira zvikoro zvaro zvese zviri kunyoresa mazimsec examinations kuti varambe vakatsinhira awo mastandard operating procedures kudzivirira utachiwana weCOVID-19. Hakuchina chikoro chinokwanisa kusvikika munhu asina kupfeka maski kana kugeza maoko kana kusanitaizwa kana kuita inonzi social distancing, uye anenge achitotorwa temperature pano neapo. Taitira izvi kuti tirambe takatsinhira zvatanga tichitomboita kuti tidzivirire kutapurirwa kwechiutachiwana hweCOVID-19. Izvezvizvi tatozonyatsoshinga takanyatsotsika ipapo kuti tikwanise kuti mazamanishoni aya anyorwe apere. Tichichengetedza vadzidzi nevadzidzisi vedu vari muzvikoro imomomo.
Muri Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Taunga Nandoro of the Ministry of Primary and Secondary School as vari kunyatsotsanangura kuti aiwa zvikoro zvichaendera mberi zvakavhurwa kuitira kuti vana vari kunyora bvunzo dzavo vawaneka mikana yekunyora bvunzo dzavo. Asi varayiridzi vari kugonongona apa valisi vayakhalala nhotuvololo vesiti leaving schools open is what is leading to an increase in COVID-19 cases in Zimbabwe. Libonele for example what was happening earlier on chinoi ukuthi abantu abasatholi ithuba lokupractisa izinto ezifana labo social distancing and so much more. Why? Because abantwana besikolo labo bayangena in these combis and they also contracting umkhuhlane we-coronavirus in these combis ngoba abantu abahloniphi imithetho ekhona elizweni. Why? For circumstances, and sometimes it's circumstances beyond their control. So you heard there, Muriel Zimbabwe from Taunga Nandoro, and we've also highlighted Ugut Ababalisi Bonabatini. But there's some organizations in Zimbabwe that are still helping these students, even under the lockdown period, to ensure that their education or ensure that the culture of reading still continues. Amongst them is Elvis Ndebele, who we have on the line of the Cholocho Mobile Library. They have a program that is helping some of these students under the level 4 COVID-19 lockdown. Let's hear more from Mr. Ndebele. Mr. Ndebele, welcome to the program. What's your program all about? Could you let us know?
Thank you, Mr. Obe, for having me around. I would like to talk about Cholocho Mobile Library, which is an initiative under the Phakama Suma Community Development Trust, which I created some 2 years back after a realization of the illiteracy which is prevalent in the areas of Cholocho and other rural areas in Matabeleland North. Cholocho Mobile Library is an initiative which works with people in Cholocho. We try by all means to create a space for books to take place within their lives. So what happens is that we source books from various areas, and then these books are then sorted out to go to villages, to go to schools. In villages, we have got what we call focal persons, who are sort of our librarians. In schools, we also have got focal persons. So these are the people who distribute these books. They create clubs within those areas, who then are given these resources, which are usually magazines, books, some in vernacular, some in English. Then they are helped by these focal persons to try to understand, to read, and create more space in their lives for books.
We hear you there, Mr. Ndebele. Let's talk a little more about how the library is working, especially under the COVID-19 lockdown. Zimbabwe's on level 4 right now. People are being restricted, told stay at home, stay at home, stay at home. So with all that in mind, could you explain to us how the library is working under the COVID-19 lockdown?
Marginalized communities like Cholocho have also been very much impacted upon by this pandemic, the COVID-19. So Cholocho Mobile Library on its own has been impacted because we are in a position whereby the material, the resources which we get cannot easily get to us. And also the fact that we cannot even easily distribute books easily because of the lockdown and also the surge in the disease. And you realize that we are trying to create a reading culture where we have to follow up, where we have to deal with the child, where we have to deal with the adult, sometimes have some meetings with them in their clubs, sometimes have instances where we have to visit them door-to-door visits. So the pandemic curtails everything.
I understand your organization is helping our students in grade 7, O-level and A-level, especially under the COVID-19 lockdown. Could you tell us a little more about that?
What we did was to partner with ISBAN and SETU Learning Group, which works in another part of Cholocho, which is in Dulula. It was said that students are supposed to learn through radio, especially FM. So in this part of the country, there is no FM. So we sat down, realized that it is possible that we create online lessons free of charge. They write their work and send them through WhatsApp to their various tutors. So we created these groups and functional throughout the year of 2020 until the students were going for their exams.
Hayi siyakuzwa Ndebele, siyakuzwa ngempela. Asithintene udaba lolu ngolimi lukamama ngamafishane bese sigqiba ingxoxo yethu. Siyabona phela ukuthi eZimbabwe sikhuluma nje liphansi kohlelo lwe-level 4 COVID-19 lockdown. Uhlelo lolu lukhuthaza uZulu ukuthi bahlale ezindlini njengendlela yokuvikela ukumemetheka kwegcikwane le-coronavirus elizweni. Njengoba siphansi kohlelo lolu lwe-lockdown, awusitshela ukuthi inhlanganiso ye-Cholocho Mobile Library isebenza njani, njalo lilazi inhlelo na ezidonge ukuthuthukisa uZulu kobulawayo ngalesi sikhathi abantu baphansi kohlelo lolu.
Ngalesi sikhathi somkhuhlane odidayo we-COVID-19 esikwenzayo kuningi kwenzela ukuthi kuvikele abantu. Sike saxhasana inhlanganiso ekuthiwa yi-Chrysolite, sadinga ama-mask ukuthi noma bebuya emaklabhini abo bebe nama-mask, siwathoyela amambalwa. Njalo futhi siyathumela imilayezo sisebenzisa amagruphu ethu aku-WhatsApp, siwathumela ezigabeni ezehlukeneyo ukuthi sitshengise abantu ngalo mkhuhlane. Nxa sibuya abantwana besiya kuma reading days kumbe bezoboleka amabhuku, siyaqonqosela ukuthi umntwana abe le mask. Right. So ama-mask lawa sithina siwathola, singadinga kumbe siwathunge, siwadistributa mahhala nje esigabeni sethu. Njalo sisuke sayenza lama okwezikolo ukuthi sifake ama-online lessons ukuthi abantwana befunde ngomakhalekhukhwini. Loba nje izimali zihlupha kwelakithi, kodwa sizamile ukuthi abantwana bambalwa khonapha esigabeni sayesa bangena abanye abavele ezigabeni ezikhatshana ubolupane ngayi ukuthi bajoyine amaqembu esiwenze la grade 7 aka form 4 lo form 6 ukuthi bafunde izifundo zabo.
Umnumzana Elvis Ndebele, thank you so much Mr. Ndebele for taking time out to join us. Saka ndizvoka zviri kuitwa oka nevamwewo pasi pano zviri kuitwa kubatsira vadzidzi munyika panguva iyo nyika iri pasi pechirongwa che-lockdown. So muri eZimbabwe, feel free to check them out at Cholocho Mobile Library on Facebook or look for umnumzana Elvis Ndebele on Facebook. Dimwe nyaya yatati tukubata nasi mchirongwa muri eZimbabwe, nasi mchirongwa. Today we also said we're going to be delving deeper in what's happening here in the United States as the nation prepares to inaugurate their 46th president, who is currently president-elect Joe Biden, and of course vice president-elect Kamala Harris. This is all going to be happening mangwana. Now this is of course happening over a time whereby the past 2 weeks in America have really been mixed with a lot of things that have happened. We saw what happened at Capitol Hill, a discussion that's been had on live talk over time and time and time again, and people of course have given their feedback. We saw international leaders across the whole world also giving their feedback. Tonight we're going to be hearing from the youth themselves as they too give their feedback on what happened in America 2 weeks ago, and of course their thoughts on the cabinet picks that have been reflected so far by President-elect Joe Biden. But first up, Maria Zimbabwe, let's head over to a report done by VOA correspondent Mike O'Sullivan, who talks about the inauguration and, of course, the preparations and what is happening so far. Let's hear more from him, then we'll head over to the youth themselves.
Massive security for the nation's most important ceremony, held every 4 years, the inauguration of a president. With a military presence in Washington not seen since the Civil War, in the House of Representatives, outgoing President Donald Trump was impeached for a second time last week. Biden's inauguration theme, America United, a challenging goal. Up to 25,000 National Guard troops have been called in, and additional police. A former chief of the Capitol Police tells VOA the security situation is safe, and socially distanced. Much of the celebration will be virtual. Much of Washington will be closed, with flags representing the hundreds of thousands of people who usually come in person. There have been protests in state capitals, and extra security is expected in all 50. A recent poll says three-quarters of Americans fear violence in coming days. One woman says the tensions are worsened by politicians who are often unresponsive to the nation's needs.
And I think that people often get really disconnected from the communities they claim to represent. So I think it's broken.
Two friends, flight attendants who disagree politically, agree on one thing. Americans need to come together.
The right is going way, way over here to the right. The left is going way, way over here to the left.
And that's where I agree with her. I think the right's too right, and I think the left is too left.
Among Biden's challenges, a belligerent North Korea, recently parading new weaponry in this unverified video from North Korean state television. Domestic challenges include soaring COVID infections, high unemployment, and political divisions.
Important thing is we want to move forward.
And many hope unify the country. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News.
Well, a shout out to Mike O'Sullivan, our VOA correspondent, who was talking about the inauguration preparations. But without further ado, Maria Zimbabwe, let's head over to the youth themselves. Joining us is Anesu Masakura, who's going to be talking about his experience on the campaign trial, working in different political campaign trials here in the United States of America, his thoughts on what happened 2 weeks ago, and of course his thoughts on some of these cabinet picks that have been made by the incoming president, the gentleman who's going to be the 46th president of the Republic of United States of America. Let's hear more from Anesu.
It's really tragic, to be honest. Sometimes I pose and I think, wait, did that really happen? You know, and the unfortunate thing is that it happened, and it's really embarrassing, especially for one of the largest democracies, if not the largest democracy on the planet. That wasn't supposed to happen. The capital all over the world stands for democracy and free speech and enterprise, you know. And what happened 2 weeks ago was a desecration of that. And I saw that many dictators around the world, including our own in Zimbabwe, were very happy, you know, to see that happening, because they then said, well, this shows that America isn't as perfect as it purports to be, and therefore should not involve itself in our affairs. So I do think that there has to be consequences for what happened, for the people who tried to overthrow a constitutionally elected government, to overturn an election, a legitimate election, and for everyone else, you know, especially Republican Congress people, you know, who encouraged this kind of behavior. So everyone across the board, including the Capitol Police, who may have been negligent, you know, everyone needs to be held accountable to show the world that America doesn't stand for this, and also to prevent things like this from happening in the future. So it really is tragic and embarrassing and unbelievable, and I hope that something gets done about that.
Now, when we look at the consequences of the event itself, the events that happened 2 weeks ago led to the second impeachment of President Donald Trump, and of course, it has now opened him to a possible case. whereby it has been linked to what happened 2 weeks ago in that situation, the violence and so much more. What are your thoughts on that whole thing, the consequences and everything that seems to be unfolding linked to that event 2 weeks ago?
Right. No, I definitely, you know, in concurrence with, you know, the decision of Democrats and some Republicans to impeach the president for a second time, that was supposed to happen. And I wish that Mitch McConnell and company had allowed for a trial in the Senate, you know, before the inauguration. Again, it's about sending a message to future presidents and to his supporters who try to overturn an election that this can't happen and this country doesn't stand for that.
Which leads to, I guess, the next point here, which is the consequences or the possible implications if he is to be convicted. On one hand, you have some people saying this leaves over 70 million people that voted for him are really dissatisfied, leaving the country more divided than ever. On the other hand, this leaves 80 million people saying we don't want to see him running again in 2024. Of course, we hear the president-elect, Joe Biden, saying he wants unity moving forward. He wants America to be united. But now, in a situation like this, whereby there's a large possibility that if he is convicted, you have 70 million disgruntled people, how do you move forward in such a circumstance?
That's a good question. You know, I hate to be insensitive, but they need to deal with it. You know, when Clinton lost the Electoral College in November 4 years ago, you know, Trump supporters were saying, deal with it. You know, she lost, move on. And Democrats did. We all did, right? Even though we weren't happy with the outcome. Democrats didn't storm the Capitol. Democrats didn't try to overturn a legitimate election. Clinton conceded, you know, because she recognized that, you know, that's what happens in a democracy. The other guy has to be willing to lose, you know, and then you try again and after 4 years. You know, that's what America represents and you know, to the world, democracy, where elections are legitimate and losers concede and winners, you know, are governed peacefully. Now, I do think that Trump supporters, you know, also have to deal with it. You know, I do understand that most of them, if not all of them, may be feeling disaffected right now. And I think the GOP leadership, including Trump himself, are to blame for that, because since the election, you know, they have been questioning the legitimacy of the elections. But you know, we have to realize that even representatives, state representatives of the Republican Party, said the election was legitimate. So why would the president question that? That's what led people to be angry, right? But regardless, I don't think it was justified for them to storm the Capitol. You know, regardless of how you feel, you're not just supposed to do that. You know, you channel your anger towards more organizing or figuring out how you can win the election in 2024, or, you know, maybe the Senate elections in 2022. So yes, it is a tough challenge ahead for Biden to unite the country. But again, you can't unite the country without accountability. Those who are involved still need to be held accountable. And I don't know exactly how Biden is going to kind of rally people behind his agenda, you know, or behind him for the next 4 years. But I'm confident that they, you know, is the man for the job.
Muriya Zimbabwe Mazinzwiraka from Anesu Masakura. Unfortunately, we couldn't play the full interview because it's cut. I savour me. Go to Muriya Zimbabwe. For those that are looking to watch the full interview, please feel free to visit our website, www.voazimbabwe.com. The full interview with Anesu Masakura is going to be available on our pages. So liyamuzwa phela osakhulayo isizalane seZimbabwe esihlala lapha kule Melika njalo uyasebenza kwezombusazwe. He's been part of several different campaign trials lapha kule Melika. Umnumzana uAnesu Masakura echasisa umbono wakhe mayelana ngalokho okwenzakalayo lapha kwele Melika. U-Anesto Masakura uthi yena njengosakhulayo njengesizalwane seZimbabwe akathabanga ngalokho okwenzakalayo kwele Melika, ikakhulukazi watching what happened 2 weeks ago lapho abantu abasekeli bakamongameli Donald Trump babetshengisela phandle kwe-Capitol Hill lapha lapha ngase Washington DC, and there was a lot of violence that happened on that day. Yena uthi njengosakhulayo he doesn't stand by that. Njalo uyakhuthaza abantu ukuthi hayi, if you're not happy with that what's happening, uthi ngempela ngempela sekuyisikhathi sokuthi njengelizwe njengeMelika babambane basebenze ndawonye ukubona ukuthi ilizwe lilapho ukuthuthuka moving forward. Now, Mudiya Zimbabwe, as we wrap up today's program, I mentioned earlier on, I like to wrap up our program. We want to develop a new culture of celebrating the youth. This week, we profile Victor Mpofu, a young Zimbabwean who's using satire to educate the world on what's happening in Zimbabwe. Let's hear more from Victor Mpofu.
The character, Endless.
What we're simply saying is there are problems, right? These problems, we highlight them through our content to say, what do you think about this? Do you think, do you feel we should continue going on like this? Do you think we have a solution to this? If there is a solution, what is the solution? And the more people comment, the more people react, the more we get also the basis for the next skit, the more we get the basis for the next content that we put out.
I got very good. So what can I do? Funds only. Hello. You can't do it. The category that is such a move on.
It's even more difficult doing it. Like you know, doing it because you have the fear of disappearing. You have the fear of being abducted. You don't know whether your content will touch on the right nerve or the wrong nerve. Right, so you always live in fear. We don't know what we put out there. We just create the content and we put it out there. There's a government that is clueless in dealing with COVID-19 and that same economy. So it's important for us now to peg this into satire. Instead of them to drown into depression, to drown into stress, to drown into anxiety attacks, we give them humor that, you know, sometimes it's good to laugh. It the escape of laughter is critical in times like this.
There are some people who are afraid to make jokes about the president. So after seeing such videos, they'll be comfortable. I mean, it's part of democracy to satirize the president. So it's very important that he does what he does so that we exercise our constitutional rights in a democratic country.
We don't really have that freedom. So I feel like satire is the only way to go, because then you manage to bring out deep issues that are happening in the country and society.
The intention is one day maybe the message will lead to something that is positive, that helps all the people as Zimbabwe.
You keep him a little kind of tanga fire, ukabone pa usani uri pono fanangori.
Victor Mpofu, young Zimbabwean, he is a comedian by profession. Shout out to Victor Mpofu, shout out to Reuters for that interview, shout out to Reuters for the package. Liamuzo Pela Osakulayo, he's talking about his work. Isikhathi sesingasavumi Muriye Zimbabwe chinobhuruka chinomhara chasvika kakumagumo echirongwa chedu chanhasi. Unfortunately, time is up. Kwanele kwanamhla Muriye Zimbabwe. Let's meet same time, same place, pano panepengire Studio 7. For those looking to chat with me, ndiripo pa Twitter nepa Instagram at BigMike3, BigMyke3. Nothing chirongwa chakati chizeya nyaya yezvekutekeshera kwechirwere checoronavirus. We're touching on the increase in COVID-19 cases in Zimbabwe. We also focused and highlighted what's happening here in the United States of America as the nation prepares to inaugurate the 46th incoming president of the United States of America, President-elect Joe Biden. This is going to be happening tomorrow. So, Kamuria Zimbabwe, pay attention to our Facebook pages as we're going to be giving you more information, as we're going to be broadcasting more and bringing you here to the United States of America. Muchiona ukazviri kuitika muno muAmerica, vachitarisira kugadza muchungamiriri mutsva zvichange zvichiitika nezuro. Wane lo kwalam sham toga zomuse Zimbabwe muse. Let's meet same time, same place. Pano panepenyiro ya Studio 7. Anokwene kanyemfaro. Jini wenyu Mike Hove. Muri ya Zimbabwe. Toga zomuse. Bye-bye.